I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 23. Have you ever gotten into a situation that did not go as expected? I don't usually get that much of a response from you guys. Evidently, it's a thing. Yeah, a lot of times things don't go quite as planned, do they? You know, sometimes it's better than what we expect, right? And sometimes it is harder than we expect, and sometimes it's just not good at all. So in life, we definitely have expectations. We have ideas about things, and sometimes they just don't work out. Sometimes they don't measure up to our expectations. Sometimes we're surprised and it's better. But many times in life, things just don't work out the way that we expected. And evidently from the response, that happens a lot to you. It's not just me that has a problem this time. Sounds like you all have the same thing that happens. And it doesn't just happen every once in a while. I would say it happens a lot. It happens a lot. That's just life, isn't it? You know, even as a Christian, sometimes we may face something in our Christian lives that doesn't go as we had expected. Sometimes a Christian can find themselves experiencing doubt or despair or disappointment because I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, I go to church, I go to Sunday school, I even stay after and demolish the platform. You might think, I've gone to church my whole life. I love Jesus, I pray, I read my Bible, I do all the things, and then this happens. And this is a real thing. Today's message is something that all of us, if you're a Christian today, you can relate to this. Now, if you haven't experienced it before, and I bet you have, you may experience it some other time in the future. And so, buckle up. This is for all of us. But as a Christian, you can be disappointed. Sometimes a new Christian thinks that because they became a Christian, life is just going to be all good. Everything's going to be easier. And then they find out it's not. Or a person is faithful for many, many years, and they think, you know, God's going to bless me. And then they experience some sort of loss or disappointment or a sickness or a broken relationship, something like that. And sometimes Christians get discouraged. Sometimes they feel despair. They may even wonder, is this real? Is my faith real? Is it worth it? Is it doing me any good? And it can happen to anyone. I have heard famous preachers talk about how they experience disappointment and despair at times. This morning, we're going to look at John the Baptist. Now, I think most of you know that John wasn't the first Baptist. There wasn't a denomination called Baptist yet. John was called the Baptist because he baptized people. That's it. He immersed people for the repentance of their sins. People came repenting of their sins, and John would baptize them as a sign of their repentance and their cleansing. John was himself the fulfillment of prophecy. He was the one, the prophet that would come before the Messiah. And so John is really unlikely to be someone that might have some despair or disappointment or maybe even some minor doubt. You see, John at one time had expressed great truth and great understanding of who Jesus is. John the Baptist was Jesus's cousin, and John the Baptist knew what his role was and who Jesus is, and he revealed that to everyone. Let's look at John's life before. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, it says this. The next day, he, this is John, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me,'" that would be God, "'to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" This is John the Baptist's words about Jesus. This was his declaration about Jesus earlier in his life and ministry. In John chapter 3, verses 25 through 30, he tells us more. It says, "Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan,'" that's talking about Jesus, "'to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him.' John answered, 'A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom. Who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease.'" These are the words of John the Baptist. These are words that John uttered earlier in his life and ministry. He was confident. He knew who Jesus is. God had revealed to him who Jesus is. There was no question in his mind what the plan of God was, that God was fulfilling prophecy, that Jesus was greater than John, and that John's job was to prepare the way for people to receive Jesus. John knew, and he was confident. In fact, remember, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John knew that Jesus was the Son of God. But we find in Luke 7, 18 through 23, that John went through a time of despair, doubt, maybe disappointment. And you might be able to relate to this at some point of your life, either in the past or in the future. Even though John knew who Jesus was, even though he knew what the Bible said about himself and Jesus, John went through a time of disappointment, despair, and doubt. You may feel the same way at some point, when maybe things don't go as you would expect as a Christian. And so let's look at our text this morning and let's see what happened. In verse 18, it says, "The disciples of John reported all these things to him," to John. "And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?' In that hour," it says, "he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" May God bless the reading of his word Pray with me, would you? Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for all the truth that it reveals. Lord, we thank you that John was faithful. Even though he went through a difficult time, we thank you that he remained faithful. Thank you for how Jesus responded to him. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn from this experience and that we would find faith in times of doubt and that we would encourage one another whenever we may be in despair in our Christian lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So John knew these things about Jesus. But in verse 18, we find that John is in prison. He's in prison. And so John was baptizing in the River Jordan. The Bible tells us that he wore a cloak of camel's hair. You ever tried camel's hair? It's better than camel's hair. He ate locusts and honey. Anybody? If we had breakfast, we're going to have breakfast next Sunday. If we advertised that we're having locusts and honey, none of you would come. Not even Robert would come. He wouldn't want to be a part of that. But John had lived out in the wilderness. He had preached to the people. He had great success in his preaching. He was baptizing. God was working in wonderful ways. But then he got sideways with King Herod, and King Herod had him arrested and thrown into jail. Now, being put in jail back then was not as comfortable as it is today. Now, I'm not saying I want to go to jail or that's a good place. I'm not made for jail, you know. Some of you are like, I'm not made for jail. I'm not suited for jail. But back then, they lived under terrible conditions. They nearly starved to death. They had to live with rodents. And they were beaten and mistreated, all kinds of things. Being in jail back then was really horrible. And so John went from serving God and seeing God work to jail. And he was in jail. Now Jesus was preaching, and there were great crowds following him. The word had gotten back to John that Jesus had been healing people, that he had raised people from the dead, that he was ministering to the people, and great crowds were following him. Remember last week, Jesus ruined a funeral in the best way possible? Remember that? Y'all remember last week? Sunday, we were here. Okay, just checking. So, I lost my train of thought being a smart aleck. That suits me perfectly, doesn't it? But he was in prison. Things had not turned out the way he expected. Remember, he did say, Jesus must increase and I must what? Decrease. He knew his role was to introduce Jesus, to reveal Jesus, to preach and prepare people for Jesus. And now Jesus has come and Jesus' public ministry had started. And he even said, as I just said, he must increase, I must decrease. But he probably had no idea that meant jail. He is rotting in jail. He's a servant of God. He's a prophet of God. He is a great prophet of God that God selected to introduce Jesus, his son, the Messiah, to the world, the Savior of the world. And yet he's rotting in prison, and evidently he went through a time of despair and doubt. I want to suggest to you this morning that anyone can have doubt at times. Amen? Anyone. You say, well, what about Billy Graham? Billy Graham has admitted that he had doubts at times. He obviously didn't get bogged down in that, but at some point in his life and ministry, he had some doubts. He had some despair. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher in England, has admitted that he struggled with depression and some doubts at times. Anyone can struggle with doubt and despair. At some point, John was in prison. His situation wasn't going as expected. Jesus was facing opposition. And John, like others, expected Jesus to bring judgment. And instead of bringing judgment at this point in Jesus' ministry, Jesus was healing people. His ministry, he was well known for healing people. None of this really was what John expected. Now, John was just a man. He's just a man. Jesus is different, right? He's God-man. But John was just a man, and so he had all the weaknesses that you and I have. And he was in despair. Why, God, are you allowing me to go through this? I am your servant. You know how many locusts I've eaten? Why are things not turning out the way I expected? Why are things not going the way I wanted them to go? I expected them to go. And he asked his disciples. John had disciples. Jesus had disciples. There were other rabbis that had disciples. John sent two of his disciples to Jesus, and he asked this question: are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Now, that's not a question that you would think that a prophet who had declared that Jesus is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. You would not expect that question. You wouldn't expect that question from someone who said, he must increase, I must decrease. You wouldn't expect that from someone who baptized Jesus and saw the Holy Spirit of God come upon him like a dove. And for God to speak from heaven and say, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. But John is in prison. Things have not turned out the way John expected. He was suffering in prison. And so he sends these disciples to ask in verse 21, the second part, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? We can all have temporary doubts. We can all have temporary, hopefully temporary, times of despair in our Christian lives. And I believe that that's what John was experiencing. So, in verse 21, Jesus, it says, in that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. So we get the idea that they go ask Jesus. Hey, John is asking, your cousin is asking, are you the one, or should we keep looking? And so one of the commentators that I read about this said, Jesus that very hour performed all these miracles. These are miracles. I mean, you're not surprised by them because we've heard these things about Jesus before, but these are things that are unseen, things that we don't see, things that only God can do. And so he did these things. Look at this again. Healed people of diseases. They didn't have antibiotics, antivirals. People were sick. When people got sick, they were really sick. It says plagues. Some people were plagued with different diseases and problems. Evil spirits. Some were possessed or oppressed by demons themselves. And he healed people of that. People who were blind. And a lot of people were blind back then. Most of us would be blind back then because they didn't have glasses. And if you had cataracts, you couldn't see. A lot of people had problems with blindness. And Jesus healed all those people. Now look in verse 22. It says, and he answered them, go tell John what you have seen and heard. And so I want you to see here that Jesus answered John compassionately, didn't he? He didn't say, you big doubter, you big weenie or whatever. I have to be careful what I say here, you understand. He didn't demean John at all. He says, the miracles reveal the truth that I am the Messiah. He says, look what God is doing. The things that God is doing, only God could do them. I am the one to come. You don't need to look for another because God is working. God is doing things in our world that only God can do. This could only be of God. And the first part of his response is, look how God is working, John. Look how God is working. The second thing that that Jesus says to him is this: go tell John what you have seen and heard, : the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the good news preached to them. And at first glance, you may say, well, that's kind of what he said earlier. But if you really get to looking at it, Jesus is reminding John of Scripture, prophetic Scripture from Isaiah. John would have known these verses. These phrases are coming from Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and verse 6, and Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Jesus is quoting and combining prophetic Scripture from Isaiah. And John would have known this. He would have recognized this. And so the first thing that Jesus did to help his friend who's in despair, who may be experiencing doubt, the first thing that he did was say, look at what God is doing. And then the second thing that he says is, remember what the Scripture says. Remember what the Scripture says. And that would have been a huge encouragement to John. John would have said, oh, yes, I remember that. Yes, that's what the Bible says that the Messiah was going to do. You are doing the very things that Isaiah prophesied that you would do. Yes, you are the one. No, I don't need to wait on anybody else. I remember. You following me? I'm almost out. So y'all hang loose just a minute. I'm going to bring this to apply to your life. So Jesus answered him compassionately. He told John, look at what God is doing. Only God could do these things. And third, remember what the Bible says. And verse 23 says, and blessed is the one, Jesus still speaking, who is not offended by me. Jesus was saying, hey, don't get mad at me. Don't resent me. Don't be offended by me. The Greek word there for offended is the word that we get scandalize. Scandalize. And so in the Greek language, he's saying, blessed is the man who is not scandalized by me. Someone who is feels done wrong. Someone who's offended by me. Don't be offended by me. And so Jesus encourages him. And you say, well, that's an interesting story, preacher. What does that have to do with me? Well, y'all all agreed at the beginning that sometimes things don't work out for you the way you think they're going to work out for you. Sometimes your expectations are not reality. And this can happen in your regular walking around life. But it can also happen in your Christian life. It can happen in your Christian faith. It can happen in your Christian life where you think, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? What have I done? I have done this for God. I've done that for God. I expected better. I expected more. I expected to avoid this kind of problem. And you may find yourself at some point doubting, is this real? This experience does not match up with my expectations. You may find yourself experiencing doubt and despair. And I want to encourage you to do exactly what Jesus told John to do. Okay? I want you to trust that God is working. Listen, when you go through those times, I want you to trust that God is working. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. But God is working. The Bible says, Jesus said, my Father is always working. Even till now, He is working. God is always at work. Another scripture is that God works all things for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It's not saying that all things are good, but it's saying that all things that we experience will work for our good. So when you don't understand or something doesn't meet your expectation or when you're disappointed or in despair or in doubt, trust God. Trust God. Just know that He is working, even though you don't understand, even though it doesn't seem like it, even if it's not what you expected. You can know that God is at work in your life, and that through those difficult times, God is still working His plan in you. Amen? Isn't that good to know? Nothing can change that. Nothing can stop that. And so trust God. Jesus told John, God is working. People are being healed. People are rising from the dead. God is working. He is doing what He said He was going to do. And then secondly, I want to encourage you, if you find yourself in that position, I want to encourage you to go to God's Word and to believe God's Word. Amen? Come on, we're almost done. We need to remind ourselves of what God's Word says. Or we need to listen to a mature Christian friend and get their godly advice. Amen? But whenever things aren't going the way we think they ought to go, whenever our expectations are not being met, whenever we're facing doubt or despair, we need to go to God's Word and we need to trust God's Word. What has God said about this versus what you feel or what you're experiencing? You see, what's important is not how we feel. What's important is what has God said about this? And sometimes we just forget. You know, I don't think John had a bad memory, but Jesus said, remember what it said in Isaiah. These are the signs of the Messiah. And these things are happening. Trust God. Trust God. So as I close, whenever you go through, or if you go through, trust that God is at work, even if it doesn't seem like it. Second, go to God's Word. Be reminded of God's Word. Trust what God has said about who you are in Christ and what God is doing in you, and it'll help you. It'll bless your life. That's what Jesus did, right? How can we improve on that? Jesus knew what they needed, what He needed, and He did it. Finally, I want to say this. If you have a friend that's going through a time of doubt and despair, share God's Word with them. Lovingly, like Jesus, He answered compassionately, didn't He? Speak to them compassionately. Encourage them. Point them to see that God is working. Point them to the truth of God's Word about their lives and what God is doing. Sometimes we just need some encouragement, don't we? It's amazing how much just a little bit of encouragement can help someone. A compliment, showing some interest, sharing a verse, telling someone you're going to be okay. Sometimes people are just starved for encouragement. And the slightest amount of encouragement as a Christian can encourage someone and make a huge difference in their lives. I think Jesus made a huge difference in John's life. Hey, buddy, remember, God's at work here, just like He said. And remember what the Scripture says. God is at work. I hope that's an encouragement to you this morning. It was an encouragement to me. I needed the sermon this week, and you all got to come along, I guess. We all are likely to face those times. And so let's remember those things. And let's encourage others who may be going through such things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.